And so, Kevin, now you're founder of Planet Jockey, a company that helps managers lead creative teams. And so how do you do it? Say you've got a great innovative idea and you've got to lead your team through making it happen. You've got to get your company behind you. What do you do? Take us through your process.
Well, you know, I think where I started my career as a pitch guy, I eventually became a leader of companies. And you know, I was always a sensitive guy. I was never, you know, when this idea of leadership when I was coming up in the business was big tough guys who ate bowls of 10-penny nails for breakfast and threw footballs and, you know, all that jazz. And I thought, at my early age, I thought, well, if that's the definition of leadership, then I guess I haven't got a prayer, you know. And what I realized over time is, you know, like everything in life, you know, you draw upon the gifts that you get. And my gift was that of enormous empathy. I could and do sense what's in people's hearts. So to me, leading people was understanding my people to such a degree that I could sense what they were hoping and dreaming for, and then igniting it. And one of the concepts I love in that regard is what I call a real ambition. You know, business, any kind of organization is ambition. So, you know, grow 20%, blah, blah, blah. That's a scorecard. A real ambition is creating something extraordinary that didn't exist before. And people love the idea of being part and feeling as if they're contributing to something like that. I call it the 6 o'clock conversation. You know, you get home and you're the person you love, whoever's in your life says, so, how was your day? And all of a sudden you become 5 years old. You know, the kids go say, guess what? and you're describing this incredible thing that you're doing and thing that you're a part of. So I think that innovating starts from the sense that people are on a journey.
But there's a balance there, right? I mean, if you make it too big, you can actually cause some people to turn away. And if you make it too small, it's just not interesting or exciting. How do you know when you've got it right?
That's really very interesting. I think that the real ambition statement is what I call it. And the way I've been able to get around that is I ask my team, okay, we're going to write a statement. I'm not going to leave the room till we write. And it's going to start with the following words, we will. And what I love about that statement is you can't afford the specificity of it. For example, you know, I'm old enough to remember on a very, very sort of fuzzy black and white television, a particular man who comes on and says, we choose to go to the moon in this decade, not because it's easy, because it's hard. You know, and notice that JFK didn't say, you know, I think it might be a good idea to go to the moon. What do you think? Or do you think we can? He said, we choose to. So filling out that statement, you know, well, my work with the city of New York back in the day, we will make the city of New York safe to live the life of your ambitions. There's a great deal of specificity, but that statement has a number of components to it. First is, it's emotionally electrifying. You know, when you write that statement down, if it doesn't get the back of everybody's hairs on the back of their neck standing up, then it's not a real ambition statement. It has to seem specific, but it also has to seem impossible. We choose to go to the moon. Can you imagine when people first heard that? It's like, what are you, nuts? And the reason it needs to sound impossible is it doesn't give you something to reach for. And one of the dangers in innovating is not setting the bar high enough, for one thing, and then doing what I call calibration, which is the moment you get your first setback, you go, well, maybe we reached a little too far here. Maybe we'll just sort of scale it back, you know?